I only saw everyone's characteristics that I was jealous of and envious of, and I wish I had. Everything that I was not, I saw in other and everyone else. And I think people tend to do that. And I would just tell myself, like, stop comparing yourself, because you have qualities about yourself that the person next to you is jealous of. Mm. Everybody has certain characteristics about themselves that the other person's like, man, I wish I had that. And you need to identify that, and you need to acknowledge that. Mm. And that just you as an individual is just like you're good. Like, you don't need to be this person or that person. You just being yourself is plenty good enough. And the other advice I would just be is just like, yeah, just give it a try. Just do it. Like we've both been talking about this whole interview. Just like, just do it. Just give it a shot.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
So guys, in this interview, I talked with June Lee, who's an Asian American influencer, YouTuber, and Instagrammer as well. So in this interview, I talked with June about what it was like growing up as an Asian American and trying to stand out, trying to do something different than the traditional law school or medical route. And you know, for June, he had a lot of insecurities. He had a lot of fears and doubts, especially because he didn't want to disappoint his parents, and he was choosing a path that is not very common for a lot of Asians. And so, you know, through this interview, I hope you guys get to know June's story, that you're encouraged to start something on your own, just like June and I did, me with my podcast, June with his comedy. And it's just, I feel like each and every one of us have a gift. We have a talent that we can offer to the world, but it's up to us to find it and to develop it and to share it with others. So hope you guys are really encouraged from this interview. Go check out June at June Lee Comedy on YouTube and Instagram. And also please make sure to leave a review on this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you found it, and to share with your friends and family if this has helped you. Also, I'm going to be doing a webinar on Instagram this Saturday at 11 a.m. PST, so make sure to check that out. It's going to be a free webinar where I share some of the things I've learned from doing 2 years of Instagram and having grown hundreds of thousands of followers. So make sure to go check it out. Hope you guys can make it, and you know, hope you guys really enjoy this interview with June. Learn a lot, and also make sure to apply everything that you learn to your life. Thanks guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoy this interview. Hey June, welcome to the interview, and I want to give a quick background of who you are to my audience. And you're a YouTuber and social media influencer, and you're Korean American, and you were born in Guam, but you moved to Georgia at a young age. And so can you just give a background of how it was growing up as an Asian American, and what got you started into doing social media?
Yeah. First off, it's a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, so I was born in Guam, like you mentioned, and I moved to Atlanta when I was around four. And I've been here my whole life, so I'm pretty much an Atlanta native. And sorry, and your question was like kind of how I got into social media and YouTube and all that?
Yeah.
So... like many other kids, back when YouTube was kind of really starting to blow up, I watched a lot of YouTube, and you know, there wasn't too many viral videos, like nowhere near compared to the amount of viral videos that are pumped out, you know, today. So, but yeah, I mean, I would watch a lot of YouTube. I grew up watching a lot of, obviously, like Niga Higa. He was one of the like OGs. And how I got started, I actually started in middle school with my friend. We used to make like singing covers. So like he would sing and I would play like guitar. So I didn't even start off doing comedy or skits or sketches or anything like that. But I've kind of been in the YouTube scene since on and off since middle school. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I saw your very first videos, you and a friend just like lip syncing. So that was kind of...
Wait, that I totally forgot about that. Yes, that was my first YouTube video. I was...
Yeah, 2008, right?
We did lip sync for covers in 2008. That was... Wow, that was a long
high
time.
High school days, right?
10 year, wow, it was my 10-year mark. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like, kind of want to also mention, like, you know, you put yourself out there, and you know, there's not like a lot of kind of Asians doing that, or especially Asian Americans. First of all, I think it might be like a cultural thing, or it might just be, you know, we're used to growing up like in community that, like, we're just community minded. We don't want to stand out and be different, you know. But for you, I know you mentioned that even at a young age, you wanted to do anything that would make people happy or laugh. And so, like, what was it that wanted you to make people laugh and happy? And, you know, even if it means making a fool of yourself, or, you know, just, yeah, what made you want to do that?
I think ever since I was a young age, even as a kid growing up in like elementary school, I loved making people laugh. And I think what's so enticing and addicting about it is that when you're able to make someone just genuinely laugh and just have a good time, it's one of the best feelings in the world. I mean, without even sounding like I'm exaggerating, I can say that as a testimonial, because not to pat myself on the back saying I've made this many people laugh in my lifetime, but I know what it feels like to have to when someone else makes me laugh. I have an older brother, and I think he's like just one of the funniest people ever. I think he's like so much funnier than I am naturally, and so I know what that feeling feels like firsthand. And to be able to do that, be that for somebody else, is an amazing feeling. You know, when people say laughter is the best medicine, I am an advocate of that. Because my whole mantra, or whatever you want to call it, is to just be able to provide a space, especially when I MC at events, is to provide a space where people can just kind of leave their whatever's happening in their life at the door and just come in and just be able to just have a good time and connect and not worry about anything. Just give them that 1 minute, like, since my videos are kind of short, just give them that really short time or a couple hours to just unwind, relax, and just let go. And I think that's amazing of what comedy can do and laughter can do.
Yeah. Do you know, it reminds me of kind of like Jim Carrey. I don't know if you heard his, there's like a motivational video. It's about, I think it was called like, I forget what it was called, but Jim Carrey was basically telling his story about how he felt, he saw his father, you know, make people laugh and be happy and be carefree by being funny. And he realized that's what he wanted to do with his life. And that's how to comedy.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just like, he found his, I guess, his calling in life. And you know, I also saw one of your videos where it was an interview with your insecurities, and you know, one of it was like, you know, you're interviewing yourself, and you're like, you know, your parents left, you know, they immigrated here to America, and they spent their whole life working, and you think that like you have the audacity to pursue and goals instead of being like a doctor or a lawyer, you know, like the traditional route. So I know this, it was like in a comedy fashion, but I know these are like real thoughts and struggles you have, you know. Could you talk a little bit about
that? Yeah. Because I think comedy is one of the, if like the best form to talk about real issues and struggles, and to be able to laugh about it, that's a beautiful thing. And like, comedy is one of the only, if not the only avenue where kind of there's no topic that's off limit. That's kind of how I see it, depending on how you tackle it. But if you really look at a lot of comedians and the things that they talk about, a lot of stuff's coming from like a dark place, but they found a way to kind of laugh about it. So to touch upon that video that I made, so yeah, I interviewed my insecurities. So I had a conversation with my inner voice and the inner struggles that a lot of Asian Americans, not even Asian Americans, but just, you know, second generation immigrants like face and go through. There's a constant internal struggle between pursuing kind of what I want to do versus what will make my parents happy, because I feel indebted to them. You know, as a lot of us do, that they sacrifice so much for us to just have a chance at success. But where it gets tricky is like their definition and their outlook of what that success is a little, you know, it's a little different to what ours may be.
And so what do your parents think about what you do? And, you know, are you currently working as well, or like degree, or like, you know, what do your parents think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I graduated a couple years ago, and I had like a full-time, you know, corporate 9-to-5. And then, you know, some situations happened there. So right now I'm kind of just working part-time because that allows me to have more time to dedicate to, you know, making videos and just kind of pursuing this as well. So I'm not able to just kind of, as of right now, to full out, just do this full-time just to support myself financially. And I think that's perfectly fine. I think that's part of the grind. I think that's part of the hustle. And the way, I mean, my parents, they're slowly coming around. They're slowly coming around to accept it. I think the way to win parents out is just to be consistent. Yeah. They're going to, even if they disagree, because, you know, like when I was growing up, they would always brush it off, you know, as a joke. And they would really emphasize, it's like, make sure it's just a hobby, right? They anytime I had like a spark or a fire, they kind of, you know, dampened it out. And I'm not here to like hate on them or talk bad about them at all. And I get it, because like if you really look at it from a perspective, it's all about stability. Mm. Because that's like, that's the one thing that they didn't have. Because like to them, stability is success. You know what I mean? Financial stability. And that's success. And, you know, whatever, however that may look, the reason why doctor, lawyer, engineer, all that is because the financial stability is very secure in those fields. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I think, yeah, they are coming around. Recently I had a chance to host at KCON New York. So that was like the biggest event that I was invited to thus far. So, and I sent them pictures. I sent them like video clips and, you know, of like how many people were there and like everything. So I think they were kind of in shock. They were like, whoa, maybe he does have potential. Maybe he does have a chance.
Yeah,
I think they're finally coming around. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Congrats. How was KCON?
It was great, man. It was overwhelming, to put it shortly. It really was overwhelming. I did not expect the magnitude of that many people versus just, it was my first convention experience. I've never been to a convention before, and it was my first K-pop concert experience.
So what did you do there exactly?
I hosted a couple. I mean, there were so many things going on, so many blocks. So I hosted a dance cover contest where like teams around the country, you know, got to come out and compete. It was lit. I mean, it was so many people, like super, super talented groups. The turnout was amazing. There had to have been like thousands of people watching. So it was really cool just to be up there and share that energy with everybody else. And I also got to host like a solo convention stage for like big YouTubers such as like, you know, Jun Kurian, Uzuhan, Anale. The list goes on, but that was also really cool to see people kind of just doing their thing.
Yeah, nice. I think there's going to be one in LA as well.
Yes. And I haven't even announced it yet, but I am going to LA.
Oh, what?
Yeah. The convention is going to be August 9th, like 9th or 10th, that Friday to Sunday. So I'll be at the Staples Center, which is crazy. Like it's kind of crazy coming out of my mouth that I'm going to be hosting at the Staples Center. So that's wild.
Wow, that's so crazy. They wanted you to host again.
Yeah. So I'm very... very fortunate and blessed.
I'll see you there. I'll see you when.
Cool, that'd be dope.
One of my friends, or who they mentioned, KCON, never knew there was like a K-pop like concert, kind of like the anime expo, you know, like it's kind of like this is for K-pop. So like K-pop is growing huge, you know. It's like,
oh yeah, it's global. So
it's putting, I guess, more like Asians, Koreans on the map.
for sure.
So, you know, as I kind of like mentioned this before, but, you know, a lot of times, like I said, Asians don't want to put themselves out there. But, you know, for you, what has you know, it's difficult to stand up, but what allowed you to be able to get over that fear and still put yourself out there? Because especially on video, you know, you get, you know, online, you got internet haters or like people have nothing to do but just bag on people. You know, how do you overcome that fear of what people say about you or their judgment and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that topic is a whole nother conversation. I mean, there's so many layers and avenues to that. It's a very heavy loaded question and topic overall. I think from one standpoint, not enough Asian parents are putting their kids in or encouraging their kids in performing arts in general, in the creative arts field. Mm-hmm. A lot of Asians put their kids in music and orchestra and band, which is fine. But I just do not see many parents Asian parents being like, hey, go take dance classes or drama classes, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And on one side, it starts from the parents kind of nurturing their kids and pushing them into those kinds of fields. And on the other end, without trying to bag on us as people, like we can be timid, we can be shy. Mm-hmm. And it can come from a place of just being shy. But with that said, I think a lot of that also has to do with because there's not a representation of Asian Americans going on. So they feel timid to step out because there's not enough role models.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and just from listening to a couple of like interviews from other, you know, big Asian American people, famous people, whether it's like David Chang in the culinary world or other actors, you know, even if they don't want to, they end up becoming like a role model figure. They carry on this almost pressure and baggage of like, I have to put on for Asians. I almost have no choice because there's so few of us, and that role kind of happens organically. So, I mean, I think to kind of best answer your question, I saw it as an opportunity, to be honest. I saw the lack of representation, a fear, but an opportunity to be like, look, like there's less competition. So, you know what I mean? I think life is really all about perspectives. Depending on how you look at any given situation, everyone has a choice in how they view something. Everybody has a choice in how you see a situation, no matter how good or bad. And I saw it as an opportunity for growth and competition. I'm like, this is great. There's not that many of us. So I don't have too many people to go up against. You know what I mean? And the people that I'm going up against are already huge heavy hitters. So like, yeah. I'm like, look, I'll worry about that. I'll worry about them when I get to their status.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know? Like my end goal, I want to be an actor, like TV and film. I'll worry about all of them, you know, when I get to Hollywood. But for now, like just like doing it low key or just like people around my area, no one's doing it, so I'm gonna hop on. You know what I mean? And it's kind of crazy how everything's been happening. It's been kind of like my 1 year mark since everything kind of been blowing up, I guess. Yeah. And just looking back, it's been kind of crazy that, you know, now it's so surreal. And I really don't know how to say this without sounding like pretentious or at all, but it's crazy that like now there's kids in, you know, middle school, high school that are looking up to me. And they're like, hey, you are the YouTuber that I watch. And like, because I was that guy. I was like, I would watch David So, Timothy De La Guerra, Camp Jumba, like just like everyone else at that age. But like to get messages from kids that are like, hey, I watch you now. I'm like, that is wild. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and you must feel to some degree that pressure or weight, because it's like, you know, these kids are looking up to you and it's like everything you do is can influence them, you know, whether it's for good or bad. And,
right.
You know, I know from your videos, you are influencing them in a positive way. And
thank you.
You want to make a positive impact, which is similar to what I want to do as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really cool that, first of all, you're taking a stand, because, you know, a lot of people are afraid to take a stand because of the criticism or the judgment or just what people think, you know. And if you don't have that like self-confidence or belief in yourself or like belief in your mission, then, you know, it's really easy to give up and just quit, you know. And so
for sure,
what would you say, or yeah, did you want to say anything?
Sorry, go ahead, finish your question.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, like, do you have like, what's your big, I guess, mission or goal with all this, and where you want to kind of take yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I do like how you touch upon like being wanting to, you know, just be a positive influence. Because like, I love and hate the term influencer, like social media influencer. It's just like, I don't know why it kind of leaves such a bad taste in my mouth. It's just like, it feels like a twofold term. It feels kind of so egotistical. It's like, oh, I'm an influencer.
You're above someone or something.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I've always had struggled with that term. Or like, when I call myself like, oh, I'm an influencer, I usually never, ever introduce myself as like, oh, I'm a social media influencer. I'm like, who are you to decide that you are an influencer? You know what I mean? But I think it is crazy that I am able to influence kids in a positive light, or a lot of times I'd be like, hey, thank you for being like a voice of reason for me, for us, for kids around my age, or just us as Asian Americans. And that's like that's a big undertaking that I never kind of expected to happen. And I'm still growing, and I'm still so, you know, I'm nowhere near where I want to be career-wise, or just even as a person. And so to have like people looking up to me is really humbling, but at the same time, it's scary because like all of a sudden, but that's part of this lifestyle. That's part of, you know, you get really, really good benefits, but at the same time, there's a lot more eyes on you. So you kind of like, it's hard to, you're scared to like screw up. But that's like the message that I also really like to promote. Is that Lena Wade from Master of None? I was listening to one of her podcasts, and she was like, "What separates icons from normal people is just that icons aren't scared to screw up, aren't scared to fail." And I'm not trying to say that I'm an icon or anything like that, but like that mentality is what can get you there. The fear of screwing up is so crippling, and people just need to kind of just get over it. Like, you need to kind of get excited about falling on your butt, because like, wow, it's like, I admire skateboarders. I think they're one of the coolest people. I used to be really into it when I was in middle school. I was so bad. I thought they were one of the coolest people, but like the fact that like they can just keep attempting a trick over and over and over until they finally get that kickflip or ollie.
Yeah.
That's like a physical manifestation of literally grinding it out, like falling on your ass, getting cuts and bruises, and then, but then that feeling of when you finally land that trick, is euphoric. And that's just kind of like the encouragement I would love to pass on. There's just too many people that are just too scared to give anything a shot. I would love to. I think your second part of the question, I would love to end up on a TV show or a movie, and just hopefully get an agent, but in Hollywood on the big screens. But that's
nice.
And also, I've always wanted to host one of my own late night shows. Because I do emceeing and host on the side as well, and I would love to just the idea of being at the late night show with Jun Lee. It sounds
pretty awesome. That'd be so crazy.
I'm not saying I wouldn't be, you know, sad if I wasn't the first, but like if there was any Asian that ends up having a late night talk show, that would be monumental for us as Asian Americans. And so I would love to be that.
I mean, it's not impossible, right?
Right.
And you're still like, how old are you right now?
I'm 24.
24. Okay, yeah. So I have a lot of time.
For sure.
And so, definitely possible. And you know, do you have any, like, for you, how is it like growing on social media? Because I mean, now it's changing a lot. It's a lot more saturated. But do you have any tips for those who are trying to grow on YouTube or, you know, or just other platforms?
I mean, the tip I usually give, and this just sounds like a little too easy, but so it's just like really simple, but hard at the same time. Is I think the best advice I can give is you need to be genuine and authentic, because people really catch that when someone's just like not authentic or genuine. Or if someone is, I think if you look at a lot of like big YouTubers or big social media people, I think what drives a lot of engagement and traffic is their authenticity. Mm. If they're just like a real down to earth human being, I think at the core of it, people feel connected to just people that are just genuine. So just be genuine and just start it. If you're having any thoughts of like a YouTube channel, like, oh, I don't know what to do, or like I have this idea, but just do it. Just make, first things first, literally make your channel. Mm. You know what I mean? Just like click that create button.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you make it private or not, just upload a video and just upload. And because you're gonna, like, if you look at all these YouTubers and like look back on their very first videos, like, it's so cringe.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And like some of my very first videos that, you know, I've either taken down or just like recorded, man, they were so bad. And I promise you will get better. It's a muscle too. Like you learn to get a little bit better with your comedic timing or whatever your YouTube channel is going to be about. You will get better the more you do it, and that's just life. So just do it. I mean, I really don't know how to like put it simply. I think what separates good from bad is also formulas of success. This is, I think, a talent. I'm a huge believer in like some sort of a talent to really, really, really make it big, and just as importantly, you need hard work, and I think you need consistency, and I just think you need to be genuine.
And you know, growing up, did you have any role models? Like, who are your biggest role models and examples you kind of looked up to?
Of course. I mean, I have so many. First and foremost, my mom. Even though that's a lot of people's go-to answer, Yeah, my mom is one of my biggest role models in life, and just her work ethic. And my brother pointed out a really good point to me, that he's like, has it ever occurred to you that our parents' work ethic was manifested in us through our pursuit of our passions? And that kind of like messed me up. I didn't even know what that meant. I had to let that like marinate and simmer. I was like, yo, that's kind of crazy. Like, just because our pursuit doesn't look the same as theirs, like, you know, like physical grunt work, maybe we, and I'm a full believer, I will never have the work ethic that they have. No matter how hard I don't think I'll ever. But the goal is to strive to work towards that kind of work ethic. But their work ethic was manifested in me through my own pursuit. Like I just said, it's like in my pursuit of acting and comedy and entertainment, like that work ethic that I admire so much about my parents, it just looks differently in my life.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I just like gave myself enough credit for that. And
yeah, that's funny. My recent post was actually about acknowledging yourself. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. I don't know if you know him, but he says, remember how far you've come, not just how far you have to go. You're not where you need to be, but neither are you where you used to be. And it's just that reminder that, like, you know, we got to acknowledge ourselves for how far we've come. Obviously, I mean, stop. Like, we got to keep going. But sometimes you need to just stop and be like, you know what, Ray, or you know what, June, like, you've done so much, and just acknowledge yourself for all the people you've helped and lives you've impacted positively, and like, the growth that you've gone through personally as well as a person, you know? I want to acknowledge you, June, for sticking through even when it's tough. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of struggles people don't see, you know, before the success, before your rise, you know? And, like, I know I had that before even starting my podcast and, you know, getting into social media. I'm sure you had that as well, like, when you were first starting out, you know? So
yeah, for sure. And I mean, even from like a podcast standpoint, there's I very recently kind of got into, you know, the whole podcast world, but I don't see too many agents either. So like what you're doing, It's great. And just kind of your post is very, you kind of have that like that Gary Vee mentality, you know what I mean? and I kind of love that, like, hustle and grind about you too. I think it's very important to count your blessings, and especially with like social media, I get so caught up on like, okay, I uploaded a video, it did great, or it did better. I have to, okay, on to the next one. And you oftentimes forget to reflect and just kind of take a step back and just be like look at the journey. And now I'm finally starting to kind of understand and get hints of what it means to enjoy the process and enjoy the journey. And like, the journey is it means more than the destination. I totally butchered that phrase, but yeah. I know everyone's heard that before, but I'm starting to finally get glimpses of like what it actually means personally to me. Mm-hmm. It really is about the journey. It's not about the destination. It really is about like all the groundwork, like you said, all the stuff that people don't see behind the camera, like all the struggles that you have to go through. And like, I think you need to be excited about that, because if you let that kind of cripple you, then like you're gonna burn out. Mm-hmm. You gotta see all those struggles, and you gotta see all those hard times as like, man, I just like to try to kind of like encourage myself when I'm going through down times, which I go through a lot. I can be like a positive person, but I'm really down and like hard on myself. And when I'm having like a lot of hardships, I'm like, June, I can't, like, dude, don't worry. Like, I can't wait to talk about this when I make it. Like, this is going to be so, like, just look, I can't wait to look back on this moment 10 years from now. It's like, I'm so glad you didn't give up. So like, I try to like encourage myself like that.
Yeah, it'd be really cool if you do a video where it's just like you share your struggles, because mm-hmm. all my friends have been telling me too, like, Ray, like, you always talk about success and motivation, but sometimes, you know, sometimes people, they also need to hear the struggles. They also need to hear, like, it's not easy for you. And there are times when, you know, even financially, it's not all stable, but you're still going, and they need to hear that and just document your journey. And so that's something I get to work on. You know, obviously social media, you want to present like, oh, like the best part, but at the same time, like, I want to be real and genuine and be like, you know, it's not easy. It's not all fun and games and stuff. Yeah. You know, but we're still going, you know. And I think that'll be even more encouraging for people to know, yeah, I'm not financially like stable yet. I'm not, you know, I'm not Gary Vee yet, you know.
Right.
I have like millions of dollars, but still I have a vision. I have a, you know, I have a mission, and that's where I'm going, you know. And so
for sure.
Like, yeah, like for you, like what, I guess your mission with comedy, what would that be? Like you said, to make people laugh, carefree, and anything else?
I think my mission with comedy is just to make dope content. I would love to also direct one day, because it all started, all of this started with church skits growing up. Mm. Like for any of my people that attended church growing up and went on like church retreats, for me, like winter retreats was like the place to really showcase what you got. I don't know about you, but like growing up, like winter retreats, whenever like for those couple of days, it was one of the most stressful times when like you get into your groups and then you have to come up with a skit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, it was all about the skit. Like whoever can create the dopest, the funniest skit, like that was like your moment. And I thrived on that. I lived for that. And I loved winter retreats. And I think it really started with those moments where I loved directing, I loved acting, and I think those were the platforms where I got to like showcase that creativity or talent or just the passion that I had for that. My mission is just to, first and foremost, I really want to create good stuff. Mm-hmm. No one wants to create crappy work, for sure. It can be hard, and I want to just... Yeah, I mean, I just admire so much of what comedy does for people, mm-hmm. and what it's done for me, and how much it's healed me and helped me through a lot of my struggles. Like just like music is therapy for so many people. I think comedy is therapy for a lot of us too. And mm-hmm. Just to be able to provide a safe place for people to just to kind of kick back and lounge, because one of my favorite moments is like when you're just with a small group of friends in your living room on the couch. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, those moments where you're just like sitting and talking and then you just like can't stop laughing, and it's just like, wow, this is it right now. And you don't even know that this moment is so precious, like while you're in it. And I love this quote from The Office. It's like when Andy Bernard's like, I wish there was a way that you can know that you're in the good old days before you actually left them, you know? And it's just like a very like emotional sucker punch to your feelings kind of quote, but it's so true. And to kind of create a space for that, I think that would, yeah, I would love to kind of create opportunities for that.
Nice. Have there been any moments when a fan wrote back something and it was really really touching, or something that made you feel, you know, because I feel, you know, especially as entrepreneurs and those who take the, you know, who go off the well-worn path and go off on making our own path, I feel there are certain times when there are signs or confirmations almost that, like, this is the right path, you know,
yes.
The right thing, or this is the path for me. So have there been any moments like that for you?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think first off, entrepreneurs, like, I don't understand how they do it, how you guys do it. It's, you guys are crazy.
and you're, I think, as well,
I mean, I guess so, but like, man, entrepreneurs are crazy, and I mean that in the most positive way, in the most like complimentary way, because like, you guys just, I mean, do everything that we're taught not to, you know. and I love that, and I love that. But yeah, I think in this big uphill battle, you really need to count those moments of like encouragements and those sparks, that kinds of uplifting moments, because you really need to cherish those, because that's the only way that that's gonna keep you going. And it's not like it's not anything that you ask for or you beg for. It's like, hey, people, like, feed me compliments. I mean, those are things that you can do with like your, you know, really close friends and family. It's like, hey, I really need an encouragement or pick me up. That's fine. But I've gotten several messages from people. And this one girl in particular really, really stuck with me. She sent me like a long message, and she was saying, essentially, to summarize, she was saying, I really admire like what you're doing for the Asian American community and what you're putting on. And I love that you're trying to debunk stereotypes. And she said something very profound that I cannot say it in the way that she did, but she said something along the lines of, it's like, you're not capitalizing on the stereotypes just to, for the views and just to make a gain out of it. And I admire that you're not taking that stereotypical pathway that a lot of that she's been seeing on social media, and then that you're just being different. And I mean, stuff like that. And, or just like this one girl was like, I've been having suicidal thoughts, and I genuinely don't think that I would be here if it wasn't for you. And that kind of like blew me away. And my brother was like, jokingly, but not joking, he's like, yo, like, you saved a life. And like, I mean, I kind of brushed it off, and I'm like, nah, I guess. But like, if you really think about it, it's like, wow, that's the impact that a person can have. And that was very humbling, and that was very, very edifying. It's like, wow, like, I am on the right path. You know what I mean?
Do you know what about your video made her say that? Or like,
which one, the first or second? It was two separate,
the suicidal one.
I don't think it was a particular video. I think she was just saying it in the sense of, when I'm depressed or when I'm having like episodes, I would visit your videos. I would watch them, and it would just help me kind of unwind or help to release some of that tension or thoughts. And I don't recall if she mentioned a particular video. But I think she just kind of was talking about just my page overall, that she was just like, thank you for just providing a space for me to just be able to smile or laugh. And yeah, that got me, it really got me emotional.
Yeah, that's that is a good sign that.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
lives. You know, you're doing something right.
For sure, and it's just. I think I'm also starting to understand what it means. It's like, this is something like bigger than yourself. It's like, you know, like actors always say that when they win awards and this is what I'm doing, my job, this is bigger than me. And I never really got that. It's like, what does that really mean? And I'm kind of getting a glimpse of that. I'm like, wow, this is bigger than myself. This is not just for me and my own personal gains. And so that is helping me grow as a person and as an entertainer and artist. It's just a really constantly refining your mission, your purpose. Because I don't think it's necessarily wrong to be have personal gains or like have personal motives. It's like, I just want to be really rich or I want to be famous. I don't think that's inherently bad.
Yeah.
But I think it's like with maturity and like, you know, the more you do it, I think refining that, it really helps you become a more mature person overall. And that's something I'm just learning as I go. Mm. If I can be an impact on someone, that's great.
And you know, also to turn the tables, also, like, so what has been the harshest kind of criticism that you've received or pushback that made you rethink, oh, like, is this right? Or
yeah,
no censor.
the hardest is surprising, it's not even on social media, it's not even the comments. The hardest part is when I host and MC, and I've done stand-up a couple times too, and I admire stand-up comedians so much. It's one of the hardest things to do in life, to get up on a stage and tell a joke and hope that everyone collectively laughs. Like, are you kidding me? And sometimes when I host, like, what pushbacks I get is very passive aggressive pushbacks, where like I have something written down and I tell a joke, or like I say a comment I think is gonna be really funny, and no one laughs, or just like, it's just very silent, awkward. And the beauty of social media and recording, the beauty of making a video, you can just press stop recording, you can do another take. You can't do that in real life. That's your one shot, you know. And so you really very quickly learn to if something doesn't hit or miss, or if something just like just goes over someone's head, you learn very quickly just to move on very quickly in the most literal sense. You're like, oh well, in my head I'm like, oh damn, that did not work as I planned. All right, I'm not on to the next joke or on to the next act.
You gotta be like quick on your feet.
You gotta be real quick on your feet. And sometimes like after events, like no matter, even if an event was really amazing, I think just human nature, people tend to just gravitate and focus on the bad moments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something could have gone amazingly well, but then it's like, oh, I made eye contact with that one guy and he was just not having fun. Like, why? Like, I want him to laugh. I don't care if all 99 other people were having a great time. That one guy, I wish I could have made him laugh or have a great time. You know, and whenever I read comments on my videos, I've been trying to read it with objectively. I'm not the type of person to just like read it and just pass it off, be like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about, like, oh, they're just being a hater. But like, what made them write that comment? It's like, you're not funny, or like, this video was this or that, or all the criticism. I try to take it objectively as I can. Sometimes if you're just bluntly racist or whatever, that's okay, that's easy to just brush off. But when I read hate comment, like hateful stuff or stuff that wasn't good or funny, I'm like, okay, so how can I improve to get less of those comments? You know, I'm not trying to make them my goal isn't to make them happy, but at the same time, I think it's important to be able to take criticism objectively. That's the only way to grow. If everyone spoon feeds you and tells you how amazing you are, then you're never going to grow, because you don't feel that you need to improve, because you're, oh, I'm already good enough.
Yeah.
Like, if you think like that, then you're screwed.
You got to take the positive criticism and work on that. So, you know, we're gonna wrap up in a couple of minutes, but a few last questions. So for you, like, what keeps you going, you know, when the going gets hard? And, you know, obviously you have a part-time job, like you said, and there's a lot of times when I'm sure you felt it, like you want to give up, or you want to just feel like you know, it's too much, or it's too much to handle and balance? You know, what for you, what keeps you going?
I think what gets me going is the, because I have yet to find something else that I want to do. And this is, I really don't have an option B. The only option B that occurs in my mind is like going back to corporate life. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with that. And if that's, you know, what you do, if you want to do it, then that's fine. But for me, that's just, I don't find a thrill in that. Money's great in corporate. Money's great. Do not get me wrong. And development is great. But for me, it's, I don't have another option of like, what keeps me up at night? What else do I daydream about? And this is it. Like, entertainment, acting, comedy, like this is what I've always known. And even though it's been only like a couple of years, I already consider myself like, I've already come too far to give up. I've already grown too much to give up. And that might not relate with some people, because they might say, some people listening or some people just starting out might be like, well, I haven't been doing it as long as you or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, everyone started somewhere, and I don't have another passion that's like as strong as this, that I just really, really want to fully pursue, and that just makes me happy. And I think that's kind of what keeps me going. It's like, because you don't have another option, it's like, yeah, I'm sad and things are tough right now, but it's like, all right, get your tears out, you know, brush it off, get up, and let's get back to work, you know? I think it's important to let it out, and just to really, when you're struggling, struggle. It's okay. Like, it's okay to be emotional or just like, oh man, things are tough. But it's also important not to get stuck in that, because it becomes a habit, and it becomes addicting. And like, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, it becomes like a habitual thing, and I don't want to get caught up in that. And because like, yeah, the more pity you have on yourself, like constantly, it's just like, and all you do is just like, it's okay that you're not X, Y, and Z. It's okay. And then you just start creating excuses for yourself. So it's important to just have those moments, but it's also very important to just brush it off, get up and be like, all right, back to work, like back to what I was doing.
Yeah. Like kind of what you said, you've been doing it so long, and you're kind of like, I've been doing this too long. It's too late for me now to give up.
Yeah, it really is. I'm like, well, I don't know what else to start over and do, so I guess I'm gonna just do this.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a good mindset, because I kind of feel the same way too. You know, I've been like done over like 50 interviews, and it's just,
yeah,
the beginning part's the hardest. And like you said, I think people just need to go and get started, and then keep going, you know, keep going and see what happens. And then you'll figure out, oh yeah, this is for me, or, you know, maybe I should try something else, you know. But if you never try, it's like, don't defeat yourself. Don't fail yourself before you even try. You know, I feel
exactly.
People do, especially among Asians, Asian Americans, because they just, maybe it's lack of confidence. Maybe it's just you're too afraid to try, or what people think. But it's like,
you know, and like, that's, I actually want to debunk that. I think Asians are confident, and I think it's such a paradox, because I see so much confidence in so many Asians Americans around me, but the media and the stigma and that stereotype that we are not confident, we are so timid, cripples ourselves, and it actually brainwashes ourselves. And I actually want to debunk that, and I want to catch myself when I say that, and I want to like stop encouraging that too. You know what I mean? Because it's such a paradox. Like, I think we have a lot of confidence, and yeah, we might be underrepresented, and that part sucks. But the less we stop encouraging, and see, that's what I'm kind of talking about with the whole self-pity. It's like, oh, it's because we culturally, like we as a race, we genetically are timid. Genetically, we're not confident. And that's not true. You know what I'm saying? And so I really want to push to debunk that, and just hopefully be an example. It's like, no, like, yo, Asians are dope as hell. Like, we're freaking, I mean, like, we have so much to offer. We have so much to say. We have so much to share with our own stories. And I know it'll be relatable to other Asians and other races and cultures in America and around the world. So that's just something I just really want to push for. They're like, we're dope, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, me and my friends as well. Like, we're not just, we have that the Asians have that stigma, but they don't get the whole picture of, you know, different Asians or just in general. But I think it's shifting. I think it is shifting.
It is.
So I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, so where can people go and find you, find out more about you and connect with you?
Yeah, so I think one of the best places is my Instagram. I just kind of post most regularly there, and just I try to be real and authentic. So you guys can find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook at Junlee Comedy. My username is the same throughout all of that, and yeah, that's where you can find me.
Cool. And you know, final question is, if you mm-hmm. go back in time and tell younger June, maybe high school, when you're just like, right. already done it, you've already like sucked through, but just in those moments maybe anxiety or fear, like what's something that you would go back and tell your younger self, and maybe someone else in that position have not taken that step like you have to keep going with it, you know?
So. Right. One thing I really want to tell my younger self is like, yo, like, please stop comparing yourself to every single person. And I only saw everyone's characteristics that I was jealous of and envious of, and then I wish I had. Everything that I was not, I saw in everyone else. And I think people tend to do that. And I would just tell myself, like, stop comparing yourself, because you have qualities about yourself that the person next to you is jealous of. Mm. Everybody has certain characteristics about themselves that the other person's like, man, I wish I had that. And you need to identify that, and you need to acknowledge that. Mm. And that just you as an individual is just like, you're good. Like, you don't need to be this person or that person. You just being yourself is plenty good enough. And the other advice I would just be is just like, yeah, just give it a try. Just do it. Like we've both been talking about this whole interview. Just like, just do it. Just give it a shot.
Yeah, and I just want people to also know that, like, well, I don't know about you. I'm sure there was for me, even like podcasting, there's a lot of, like fear, and you know, I didn't like sound it. I didn't like just, you know, I would, the first interviews I just like, man, that sucks, and just
For sure.
Yeah, but it's just like, you know, make sure that, you know, it's your life, right? You have one life, and yes. don't live it regretting, what if I would have done this, you know? Because
yes
I left, you know, med school, like it was chiropractic school, but it was just, if I don't take this chance now, like, who knows, like, what could have happened. I don't want to live with that, you know, what if, you know? And I don't want anyone out there listening to also live with that as well. And so just go and try it. Yeah, whatever that's been on your mind, and just, like, go for it and see where it takes you, you know? And you're not alone, right? Like, just like me and you, we're examples of how we've been able to overcome that, and other people can as well.
So. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, make sure to go check out June. Junlee Comedy, right, on Instagram and YouTube.
Yes, and Facebook.
Yeah. And Facebook, cool. And yeah, thanks so much, June, for coming on the interview and sharing your perspective. And look forward to seeing you in at KCON, man. When you're
playing. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can link up and meet up. That'd be cool. But yeah, thank you so much, Ray, for having me on your podcast. It was a pleasure. And keep up what you're doing.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed this interview with June. And like I said, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, so more people can hear it. And also share with your friends and family if you think this has been helpful to you. And you know, the main reason, you know, June and I, we both have similar reasons why we want to do what we do. We want to make a positive impact in the world. We want to do something, you know, big. We don't want to live our life small, because we only have one life. And so whatever idea or things that you thought about throughout this interview, just go and try it. You know, you never know what's going to happen. I never knew I'd come this far networking with some of the biggest names in entrepreneurship and social media. June would have never thought he would have been at KCON, you know, hosting events. And, you know, this is just the beginning for us. So I hope this really encouraged you guys and allowed you guys to see that, you know, there are people out there taking action. There are people out there who are taking steps to create the life that they want on their own terms. And you can do the same. It's just a matter of taking action. It's just a matter of believing in yourself and knowing that you're not alone, you know. So make sure to go check out June at Junlee Comedy on Instagram, me on Ray.on. and send us a DM or message if you guys need advice or help, and you know, we'll make sure to reply to that. So thanks guys once again for listening, and also my webinar this Saturday at 11 a.m. PST. Make sure to check that out. I'll be sharing some Instagram tips for you guys to help you grow and, you know, create it in a way that would engage people. And so hope you guys check it out. It'll be in the link in the description for this podcast, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.